We could be jazz musicians.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Here we starve to death.
I could use a little of that. You, on the other hand, would go first. I'd be a solo artist.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What time is it?
It's 9 o'clock, actually. It just told me it was 9 o'clock just a few seconds ago.
Your phone?
Yeah, I got it set. This is really cool. I've had it on there, but I've never had it set to turn on. And it's got a little ding where it dings every hour. Dings on the hour.
Oh, I'm mad.
Yeah. I've turned the sound off, it'll just light up, you know, which is really cool. I love that.
That stressed me out.
It stresses you out?
Yeah. Telling me what time it is all the time. Give me cancer.
give you cancer?
Yeah. Give me an ulcer at least.
Why does that stress you out, man? I like it.
I don't even wear a...
Oh, that's true. You don't even wear a wristwatch. But see, this saves me from having to look at a clock. The clock tells me. I don't have to ask the clock. The clock tells me.
I only want to know when I want to know, and I don't want to know any other time.
You're living your life in a lie.
No.
Pretending that time doesn't exist.
That's right, it doesn't, until I need it to.
You've tuned in to Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's a lot better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better
than forgetting words to a song and singing anyway.
It's better
than getting a negative feedback on eBay.
It's better
than dieting but never changing what you weigh.
It's better
than a DRM on a paid-for song.
Two Blind Squirrels in the morning. Blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's alright.
Well, on today's show, we're going to talk about Christian picketing. Christian picketing and throwing aside your cloak. So, tune in for an intelligent conversation.
Two blind squirrels in the morning.
I didn't mean to us. I just...
Somewhere. Yeah.
Always be ready to tune in if you accidentally hear intelligent conversation somewhere. And be ready to pause us so that you can pay attention to that conversation. Okay.
Blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's all right.
I'll tell you, that negative feedback thing on eBay,
yeah,
that is a big deal.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah, because all you need is one negative feedback, and it's hard to crawl back up to 98% or whatever. Yeah, you got to sell like a zillion things to get back up, and it doesn't even have to, because we had that, I had that before we started doing the eBay store, and the guy had bought a camera. Mm-hmm. It was an old, like a classic camera. Mm-hmm. And he was in France. So he bought it, paid for it to be shipped to France, all this other stuff like that. And then when he got it, he said that the shutters were dirty.
Yeah.
It's an old camera. it's like an antique or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure they are.
Sure they're dirty.
But he was upset by this. I'm thinking,
I did not misrepresent the condition of the camera set.
No, I never did. Yeah, I took pictures of it and said it's an old camera and we don't know much about it, but you know, this is what model it is and blah blah blah. And he bought it as is. And anyway, so he went back and forth and said that he wanted us to comp him so that he could have it the shutters or whatever cleaned.
Yeah.
The blades of the shutters. I'm like, okay, if you know that much about the camera, you probably can clean them yourself or something. And we're not gonna, you're not gonna hold us. I mean, you got the camera and you're in France. What do you want me to do? So he left like this negative feedback.
He's French.
Yeah.
This is what you should have said. Responding to the negative feedback, you should have said, what can I do? He's French.
No, has nothing to do with it. But
the only thing worse than being French is being a French Canadian.
I had the opportunity to leave feedback.
Yeah.
You know? And but still he's left negative feedback. So it impacts that score.
Yeah.
That, 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 yeah. So that, yeah, then you got to sell like 100 things or something to come back up to 98%.
But I actually, when I'm buying, I actually like it if there's a couple of negative or neutral comments.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it makes it look more real. If they're all positive, I wonder if this guy faked it.
Yeah, and I always look to see when the negative was. I look at their score. Oh, look, they had some negatives. And so that makes me go read the comments. Mm-hmm. But if I see, oh, look, they had some negative stuff, like they had like maybe two or three comments 6 months ago or a year ago, but up until, you know, since then, it's been fine. Then I realize, oh, they must have had some issues or something or whatever, a bad spell. And then, you know, now they're back on track. Yeah. So that's, it's almost, it works exactly like you're baselining the behavior. We had this guy in 29 Palms when I was in the Marines.
Yeah.
The dude ran away. He went AWOL. Mm-hmm. The MPs went out and they found him. They brought him back. They busted him down to private. They put him on all kinds of special duties. All this kind of noise, right? And meanwhile, all the rest of us are going to school and shining our shoes and doing what we're supposed to and all this stuff. And then this guy runs away again. He runs away, and he has a good time, and he does whatever he's doing, you know, for the 3 months that he's gone or something, and they drag him back. They go out and find him, they drag him back, and he gets in trouble again, and he's like, you know, he has to – he's barracks restriction, and people are watching him and all this stuff like that. And then he – for like a week or something, he keeps his nose clean, and then he gets promoted. He gets promoted above us.
Above y'all?
Yeah, because he had shown so much improvement. The dude ran away twice. We've been here doing what we're supposed to be doing. We didn't get nothing.
You know, it's the prodigal son, man. He killed the fatted calf for the kid who'd run away.
I guess so.
The kid that was there the whole time didn't get a fatted calf.
We didn't get nothing.
He get no fatted calf, Daddy. Why got the skinny calf? Why you give me the skinny calf? Nibble on his bone. He ain't got no meat. Stupid skinny calf. I feel for that guy. Every time I read that story, I feel for that guy.
Sure, man. Sure. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Anyway, we didn't come here to talk about all that.
We didn't?
Oh, I don't know. Did we?
I'm fine with it.
No, let's talk about picketed.
Okay.
Let's talk about picketing. Picketing.
Picketing?
Picketing.
Picketing.
Yeah.
Picketing.
Let's talk about.
Picketing. Picketing.
Let's talk about Christian picketing.
Christian picketing.
Yeah. Do Christians picketing things bring you closer to God or push you farther from God?
Well, we live in America. We have free speech.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We have the right to exercise that free speech.
Yes.
Is exercising that free speech in the form of picketing, a very good, is it scriptural? Is it spiritual? Is it biblical? Now is it something that Christians should be doing?
Now you got the whole, wait a minute, since we're here, you got the whole walking around, what was it? When they walked around seven, they walked around the whole thing.
Oh, they picketed Jericho.
Jericho, yeah.
Did they picket Jericho?
Could possibly be considered.
Were they holding signs? Can you see them holding signs walking around? Jericho sucks. Jericho sucks.
I think it could possibly be construed as an early form of picketing. It's an early form of protest at best.
Sandwich boards.
We'll be back tomorrow. So to me. Maybe.
Hey, y'all come here. Y'all come here, man. The Jews are picking it again. Check them out. You want to throw slushies at them.
So maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe it is biblical. But it seems like the default reaction these days is to just to picket things. You know, it's a protest something.
You know what it is, though, I think? Well, let's give the example. Give the example.
Okay, so the Compass is coming out, right? The movie The Compass is coming out.
That dude is so wrong, man.
And in the movie,
is horrible.
The basic premise of the movie is that it's a non-Christian Narnia, okay? And at the end of the movie, or at least in the book, they kill God.
Yeah.
Okay. And
the author says we need to metaphorically kill God. All children should metaphorically kill God.
And so in the movie, this was supposed to be...
They
should
mature to the point where they don't need God.
This was supposed to be something that was going to happen. Now, I know they get a lot of press coverage, a lot of bad press.
Oh, yeah. Like they changed the ending or something.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Now really, that doesn't... Verified. If you think about it, that one, they got a lot of press coverage from it. Okay, so which is good for them either way. It doesn't really matter. They got free publicity. And which still doesn't keep people, no matter what they change the end of the movie to, doesn't keep people from buying the book, right? Because, oh, they changed the end of the movie. Well, let's go get the book so we can find out what it really said.
Right.
Okay. So it's really not a, it's really a pretty genius marketing machine there.
Yeah, but there's something, there's something in us, as Christians, that rises up when we see an atheist going after our children. It's like, it's this protective thing.
Sure. Well, it's,
it's an atheist after our children.
Doesn't matter who they are, yeah.
I mean, and, you know, it's, but it's just wrong. It's like, you're, you know, but we send them to school. Yeah. We send them to school with atheist curriculum. You read some of their textbooks, and it's just horrible what they're teaching them in their textbooks. Mm-hmm. And we let them watch Disney movies, which is... Same thing. I mean, it's atheistic, you know, magic, right? Believe in yourself and everything will be all right. But you know, this actually comes out and says it, and so.
Okay, so we've got the example. Sorry. So do you...
Picketing. In our town.
Picketing.
There was people picketing. There was a Christian website, a Christian thing.
They were protesting. I don't know that they were picketing. I don't know if they actually had sticks and signs.
Yeah, they were going to go down to the movie theater and protest the movie being in our town because they didn't want it here.
But my question, though, is does that draw people closer to God or push people away from God? I mean, does having a show, you know, and the most publicized recent example, right, is that the group that wore the shirts that say God, you know, God hates fags?
You know, yes.
That's an extreme.
That's an extreme.
I feel like that's an extreme.
They call themselves Baptists, but they're not.
Yeah, no. But that's still an extreme association with Christianity versus the action of protesting or whatever, right? Yeah. It's an ugly form. But does any form of protesting or picketing or anything like that draw people in, or does it push them away?
I think if you're picketing or you're protesting from a secular standpoint of solidarity. Mm-hmm. I think that it would be okay. I think that, you know, if you belong to a union and that union is on strike, then you sort of have the obligation to I'm just giving an instance where it would be okay.
Okay.
Where I think it would be all right. Then you have the obligation to picket or protest, or not so much. It's not so much, I guess, a protest. I guess it is protesting wages, so I guess it's a protest and picketing. But in general, it's like this all happened a few years ago too, when the Southern Baptists got all up in arms because they had Gay Day at Disney World in Florida, and they were like, "Okay, we're going to boycott Disney World as a protest." And I'm like, no, dude, we know exactly what day a bunch of lost people are going to be there.
Yeah,
let's go there then.
Show them. Show up. Show up wearing T-shirts, man. Let's go.
Let's go. Pass out Bibles. Let's go.
Yeah. Get to know some people. Get to, you know, shake some hands.
Yeah. Let's go buy 1,000 tracks and, you know. Let's go show them what love is.
Build some relationships.
But the thing is we tend to react. I think as a society, whether we're Christian or not, we tend to react emotionally. Mm-hmm. We tend to react to the situation emotionally,
right.
And so we don't want that crap in our town. Is the emotion,
right?
And so we end up going down there and protesting the movie. When in your example was great.
Well, and rather than go down there and
your reaction to it
and have this show and all the stuff and create animosity, why not go down there and say, you know, and tell people.
They're coming out of the movie.
Going into the movie, you know, before they've even gone into the movie. Let them know, hey, if you bring your ticket stub to our church next Thursday night or Wednesday night or whatever, you know, whenever that night is, next Wednesday night, then...
We'll give you a free turkey.
Yeah, we'll give you a turkey or a box of food or we're having a dinner. You know, and you can get
for
in
free.
I mean, whatever it is, that whatever that incentive is to bring them in the door so that you can begin to build that relationship.
I think that's a genius idea, and that's much better than standing out front protesting the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether, and I think the protest was basically they were going to stand around and hold hands and pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at the time the movie was supposed to open. So, I mean, that's, to me, that's not the same as holding a sign that says God hates fags. Okay, that's
no,
extreme ends right, of the right. spectrum there. But the premise is the same. Why not respond in love mm-hmm. to a situation where you know people are going to need love?
Right.
Instead of responding in a more emotional standpoint of we need to put these people out of business and we need to make sure that crap doesn't get in our town and we need to hit them where it hurts and make sure that we boycott the movie. Or, you know.
And Jill and I were talking about it and she had the good idea that we ought to go see it, okay? And this is not from the standpoint of we should support it. It's from the standpoint of when I go to work and yeah. people have already seen the movie, mm-hmm. I can talk about it. I can talk about, yeah, you know, that scene didn't make any sense. And then bring it into the conversation about what it was.
Use it as a witnessing tool.
Use it as a witness tool. What it meant or what it didn't mean or what the book really says mm-hmm. versus what the movie told you mm-hmm. and why be able to have that conversation because and Jill brought this up that that Paul was able to go and tell the Romans I like you this and I like you that but let me tell you about this other thing over here
he had to know Christ. He didn't know about their gods and everything to be able to talk about the unknown God which we brought up this is why he's able to minister to them because he knew about their religious situation
right and too often we're eager to protest it I'm not gonna read that book I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well if you don't read that book then how are you going to know what's in that book that the other person has been reading
right.
to know what they're going to be confused about? So,
mm-hmm.
so anyway.
We have to be in the world, not of the world.
Right. That's just, my question. Does it push you or pull you? I completely
agree. Well, Bonita Ardilia has sent us a report from the field.
Hola, Diaz. Bonita aquí con sus versos por hoy día. Luke 17:12-14. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go show yourself to the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed. As I was working out today and listening to my devotions, 3 different ones spoke on the 10 lepers that the Lord healed, with 2 specific emphases. It struck me that the Lord wanted me to record on this, so... In these verses, the Lord spoke about faith. He didn't touch the lepers. He didn't have them do a special ritual of any kind. They asked... He told them to go show themselves to the priests, and as they left, in faith, that they had been healed, they were cleansed. It is as we should be, what the Lord says he will do. We have to have faith, and we will when we are in his will as these lepers were. Enjoy your day in the Lord. Bonita sending you back to the main acorn-strewn desks of Brad and Chaz.
Wow. Cool. It's cool she does this every day, you know? It's great. She gets to witness it every day. It's great.
It's like biblical flashers.
What?
Well, it says go show yourself to the priest.
Oh. How often do you get to do that?
Sorry.
I like the word when she said emphasis. That's a word you can get lost in.
Yeah.
Find your way out of that word. It's like ammonia. No, never mind. Aluminum.
So what's all this business over here about throwing aside your cloak? I'm dying to hear about this.
Throwing aside your cloak. Well, it's just something that I came across the other day that I wanted to share. It was it's Mark 10:46-52. And what I thought was interesting about it was this is a story. Jesus just got through telling his disciples, okay, that the least in the kingdom will be the greatest and all this. If you read a little previous to this in chapter 10, he's telling his disciples because his disciples, they come to me and they said, I want to sit on your left and I want to sit on your right and all this kind of stuff. And he's telling them, he's like, look, he says, the least, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you need to be the least here. Hmm. You need to serve, and those will be the ones that, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about himself there. He's going to be first because he's going to be a slave to all. He's going to bear the sins of everybody. He's going to serve everybody. So that's what he's talking about prior to this story. But then in this story, he says, just real quickly, he comes to Jericho. He's going into Jericho, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
There's a large crowd there, and there's a blind man called Bartimaeus. Okay? Bartimaeus. And he was sitting by the roadside, and he was begging, and he was blind, okay? All right. These are important factors here. And when he heard that Jesus was of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then, but people told him to be quiet. Stop shouting, you know, and everything, and be quiet. And but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man and said, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." And the blind man threw aside his cloak and jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, and then Jesus says, and then the next line is the kind of the cool part. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man says, "Rabbi, I want to see." And he says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Okay, so what I thought was interesting was the cloak part. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, you think about this blind man, right? You read this story and all this and everything.
Right.
This guy the other day says, "You ever think about that cloak part? Why did they throw that through aside his cloak? Why did they put that in the story?"
Right. Everything's there for a reason. For a reason. Not just a, yeah.
Yeah. So this brings up the cloak part. The cloak part. Well, the cloak was there. Was sort of their main garment. It had little pockets in it where you put your possessions. They used it to sit on. They used to sleep on it. You know, for the rain. This is a blind man. So he had a spot in the road where he sat, and he would listen to everybody's conversations that came by. That's all he could do, and he would beg for money. So he'd heard about Jesus probably, right? But his cloak was his life. This cloak was his life. I mean, it was probably his only possession. He was a beggar, right? But it was also very important to him because he could have easily been stolen. But anything else that he did own, like maybe a cup or something like that, would have been in his pockets these cloaks on the inside had these little strings, like little pieces of fabric, and they would tie things. That's where they would tie their possessions to, you know, only like you see with the New York people where they flash their cloaks open and they have all the watches on the inside.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Same kind of thing.
A bunch of Rolexes.
That's where he keeps his pencils, you know, he sells. And, So his cloak is extremely important to him. It's where he'd put any money that he begged. He'd put it in his cloak. He would sit on his cloak he would use it as a pillow and a blanket at night. He would protect him from the rain. I mean, so especially being a blind man, this was extremely important to him. I mean, he would have taken very good care of it. He would have been careful not to get anything on it and to make sure that it didn't fray or tear. And if it did, that he would immediately, you know, fix it and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because this cloak was his world. It was his house. That's where he lived.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Okay. So he threw it aside immediately when Jesus says, when somebody told him, you know, somebody told this guy, "Hey, on your feet, cheer up. Jesus is calling you."
So his one and only most singular worldly possession.
Yeah. He threw it aside. Now, because he either had faith that he was going to regain his sight and come back and get it, and be able to find it again, or see who stole it,
right?
Or that he wouldn't need it anymore. Or there was something. But the bottom line of this is there was something more important, right?
Right.
So he just, I mean, his, you know, his.
Yeah, that's what I think of. It's
all of a sudden,
the desire for what he,
the thing that was most important to him was,
yeah,
not that.
Right.
And it doesn't say he went back for it. It says he immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. He didn't go back and try to get his cloak back again.
Right.
He wasn't even thinking about it. So, what are the cloaks? You know, what is your cloak? What is your cloak that is all important and you need to cast aside and follow Jesus?
That's interesting because there's also the analogy of that I've heard before. It was kind of described as holding cantaloupes.
Holding cantaloupes.
Yeah, I know it's kind of a stretch, but let's say you got.
Came from the Bible.
I know. I know it.
You just come from Benny Hill.
You don't want to play the whole squirrel thing? There's a squirrel. Yeah.
I will if you want
me
to.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. That's, you know, I'm sure you will, though.
Now, here's a squirrel that you know has deep spiritual thoughts and lots of pizzazz. It's Jazzy Jazz Hands.
Only because I get to hear Tim laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So let's say you have cantaloupes. You've got three or four good-sized cantaloupes in your arms.
You juggle them, right?
Well, you're trying to hold on. To
okay,
them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they're,
yeah.
They're round. Uh-huh. They're, you know, mm-hmm. they're heavy, and they're going to hold them in your arms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm going to give you anything else, all right, I'm going to give you another cantaloupe or anything.
Right. Right?
You've got to do something with that. Those other cantaloupes, and the whole time, I mean, those things are heavy, so you're kind of hunched over
mm-hmm.
with these cantaloupes. Well, you can't accept any other. You don't have any room for anything else. You can't accept any more.
Right.
Because you're hanging on to your cantaloupes. You don't want to drop your cantaloupes.
Yeah.
But as soon as you let go of the cantaloupes.
Yes.
Then you're free.
Then you get a watermelon.
Then you're free to accept other things that are given to you.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
So now you aren't, now that you've, because like when you get your cantaloupes, you're all like this, you're all hunched mm-hmm. over. But then when you let go of your cantaloupes, your arms are outstretched and you can receive.
Yeah. Just don't drop them on your toes.
No, you can't. Don't drop them on your toes.
Oh. Yeah, that's similar. Similar.
Same idea, yeah.
Same idea.
When we hang on to all our worldly possessions, we hang on to our money, and we hang on to whatever, then we can't. Then we're not.
Well, the other thing I wanted to point out here in this is that the throwing aside your cloak is, you know, kind of an evangelical type of message. Hmm. For this is somebody who had, you know, you throw aside your cloak to follow Jesus. So for those of us who have already followed Jesus, right, mm-hmm. what's interesting is what Jesus said when the man came to him. What do you want me to do for you? This is the King of the universe, the creator of the universe. Nothing was made without him.
Yeah.
He says to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? I mean, this is, you know, this is a man who has, you know,
yeah.
the angels begging, you know, all around him, preventing him from being a bone being broken. Mm-hmm. And he says, what can I do for you? Now, think about that, okay? When you're a deacon in church or you're in head of the ministry or something, and somebody comes in off the street and they're like, yeah, man, I think I'm going to sit down here, you know? You know?
Yeah.
You know, you want to go there and smack them because their pants are down around on the knees and they got some kind of shirt on with a skull on it, and then they got like barbed wire hanging out of their eyebrows.
You told me you liked that shirt.
Well, I lied. So you want to go over there and smack them, but you're afraid you'll cut your hand on the metal sticking out of their face, right? So just remember what Jesus did, you know? What can I do for you?
Yeah. Hey, did you see that movie Cloak and Dagger?
You've been waiting this whole time to say that.
I have. I was waiting for you to silence a little bit there.
When can I get this Cloak and Dagger statement going? I just, you know, I need that.
It's a good movie.
Here's the squirrel.
It's a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
For 1982.
Well, yeah, I was, you know, 10, 11, something. And it was 82. I was 84.
Excuse me.
84. I was 12. Sorry. I was 12.
I was 2 years off.
I was in the Cloak and Dagger in Red Dawn.
Red Dawn was awesome. They peed the radiator.
Yeah.
Now, here's the...
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time that you have given us.
Yes.
To let us do it in whatever it is we do in your ears.
And remember...
Yes?
That when you feel like you want to jump up and run out and protest somebody.
Yeah.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. And then go out and protest.
Now, here's the...
Don't take that away from you.
You can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have it. Nobody else can do this, everybody.
Two blind squares are gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior." Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.